to do. That was one of them.
We'll call the meeting to order. Please stand for the pledge of the flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Buchanan.
Here.
Wise.
Present.
Ballinger.
Here.
Edmonds.
Here. Now we're going to turn the meeting over to Ben Lowers for a very special presentation.
One of the few times, last time, that you have to listen to. So I have a special recognition tonight. And you know, when I've typed it out, it's maybe something will be a little challenging for me, but one of the most significant in my years of law enforcement and certainly in my 10 years as chief of police. Next Friday, July 26th, will mark 40 years, 6 months, and 11 days of Jean Rogers serving the Clinton Police Department, and most notably, her final day as she embarks on her well-earned retirement. Jean began her career on January 15th, 1984, and during her tenure has served as dispatcher, several of those years as the dispatch supervisor, and then following the consolidation to CINCOM in 1999, she served as the administrative assistant to the chief of police for the past 25 years. Jean has served under 3 police chiefs, to include Chief Mike Norrington, who hired her in 1984, the late Chief Mike Reedy from 1993 until his retirement in 2013, who I have no doubt would be sitting on that front row tonight if he were still with us. As administrative assistant, Jean is often the first face that many see when coming to the police department. She's been tasked with the organization and management of all the department's records, various state and federal reporting requirements, her duties and responsibilities too numerous to name, and perhaps the most demanding, keeping myself and all the officers she's seen come and go and check the best that she could. During the 4+ decades that she devoted her professional career to the Clinton Police Department, she also managed to marry and raise a now adult son in Logan. She's not only devoted many years to the city of Clinton, but is an all too well recognized face and name throughout the entire community, and has served as a dedicated volunteer to countless organizations. Most notably, she and Pat's passion to serve disabled veterans through their recent work with HOOA. I love to listen to Jean's stories of years ago, the bonds and friendships with so many of the officers who have come and gone, and the familiar names of some of the characters we still encounter today. As for some, it seems to be a generational thing. While she may not embrace such a title, one of Jean's most prolific roles has become that of department mom. We miss the leftover kettle corn on Monday mornings and swinging by special events for that giant lemonade shakeout. She makes a mean sausage enchilada dip, and anything from Jean's kitchen for a department potluck was sure to be a hit. Personally, this one hits a little hard for me. Jean is the last of the original roster from when I began my career here 24 years ago. And over those years, she's become so much more than a colleague, but an invaluable friend through thick and thin. I've never once questioned Jean's commitment, dedication, and loyalty to myself or to the Clinton Police Department. Through various challenging or stressful times and an unfortunate handful of those heart-wrenching situations, whether work-related or in my personal life, Jean has been my rock more times than I can count. A calm voice of reason, a listening ear, and sound motherly advice when warranted, even if I wasn't asking for it. She's congratulated and celebrated with me in the best of times, and on a few occasions, she's been there to hand me the Kleenex to wipe the tears. Jean's absence will leave a recognizable void, but her sense of humor and selfless positive influence for more than 4 decades will leave a lasting legacy in the Clinton Police Department. We'll be hosting an open house here at City Hall on Friday, July 26th from 2 to 4 p.m., and we invite the public to stop by and wish Jean well as she begins her next chapter. On behalf of the current staff and countless past members of the Clinton Police Department, we wish you the very best of your well-deserved retirement. From me personally, thank you just doesn't seem enough. But from the bottom of my heart, thank you for everything. I have a plaque here to give her, honoring 40 years of service, Jean Rogers. With great honor and recognition for your commendable and dedicated time, we, the officers of the Clinton Police Department, thank you for all you have done for this department over the years.
Thank you so much.
Please come join us next week.
Thank you.
Okay, everybody signed in.
Yes, Jeff Blood.
Hey, come on up and have a seat at the desk and state your name and address.
My name is Jeff Blood. My address is 917 East Macon Street. Thank you for giving me the chance to speak here today. I do have a bit of anxiety, so please forgive me if I stutter or anything. But my concern about the park, I don't know what all the planning is, what is all going on, but I have Mr. Baxter, I think is his name, showed me some pictures of the new park, and I love it. It looks beautiful, and I'd like to offer some of my physical labor and stuff to help put that into fruition, as well as I would be willing to help out with some of the demolition as well. And I might know some other people who are willing to do so. I grew up in this community. I went to the schools, and a lot of the friends that I went to school with are still here, still around. A lot of them been through rough times, but they're still here, and they'd like to see a better, you know, better parks, better everything for their children. So hopefully they don't have to go through some of the stuff that we've had to go through. I remember back in junior high, we had some great teachers who were willing to bring us up to here to City Hall to meet with the board and discuss getting a skate park in there at Kiwanis Park. And we did some work selling candy bars, a whole group of us did, and we raised about $10,000, and the City Hall agreed to match that. And then, so we got the $10,000 raised, accomplished. Unfortunately, some stuff went down, and it didn't end up coming into fruition. So we ended up with that park. And the way I see it now is, like, all the bad stuff that's gone down in that park, I think it's a perfect time for a great revitalization for the community, for our future generations. And I believe that now is a great time for us to try to put in there somewhere a skate park. We can be very, you know, budget conscious about it. I'd be willing to work on it as well. And when it comes to the situation with, like, because it'll be healthy for people of all ages, because I'm 35, going to be 36. My son is going to be 4 here soon. I'm going to be raising him to skateboard. And I know people that are in their 60s and 70s all over the place that still skateboard, too. But I believe that it would be excellent, beneficial for the community. And as far as the vandalism thing goes, when you see people going out spray painting, there have been situations, not around here, but in other larger cities and states and stuff, where they had, like, privately let people spray paint their walls, and it would start off with just those terrible, ugly-looking tags, scribbles, and then eventually it just kind of builds up over time with different stuff, and then sometimes you see some very excellent artwork of, like, you know, Leonardo da Vinci, Picasso, all of those people, like those type of proportions. Very excellent work. I've seen it. I'm not that skilled myself, but I do know some artists that are that skilled, and I do have connections with that. And if there's any chance that we could do like a petition thing, I know that I can get, like, a lot of signatures for that.
I don't think we need a petition, because I've had a lot of people reach out wanting to volunteer and help do stuff at the parks. And I'm going to begin with Taylor, and And we'll put something together for volunteers to help, because there's going to be a lot of stuff that the actual playground people won't attack. You know, we're going to do the bricks again, you know, and just various different things. So when we get that, we'll put a something out to the public if you'd like to, because they've really been wanting to get involved in it. So that's great, you know.
Yes, I would absolutely.
Ownership in it. I mean, we got a lot of cleanup that we're going to do down there and open it up a little more so it's not a secluded area and a place to hide out, you know. So we're going to make it more user-friendly for everybody. And today, thanks to Kyle and all the city workers that work down there, was the first step of doing that, was demolishing the old one that was falling apart. So
excellent.
We're moving forward on it, and I think it's going to move pretty aggressively.
Okay, so I would like to be in touch with Kyle and all them involved.
You just keep in touch with Taylor right back there. He'll have everything that's going forward, and he can keep you up to date on it. And when we get to the point where we can bring volunteers in, we welcome them. Okay?
Excellent. Sounds great.
Is that what you wanted to hear?
Yes. Good. Yes, absolutely. Thank you for the opportunity to speak. God bless.
Okay. Let's see. Minutes of the prior meeting.
Wait a minute. Look. Thank you.
One more.
Sorry.
Did you sign up?
Sorry about that.
It's okay. Hi, I'm Ed Sassinas. I'm the owner of EMC Photography. And I actually talked to the board about this roughly 2 years ago, although my wife says it's 3 years ago. And it has to deal with the state of the sidewalks in the downtown area. A couple years ago, I came because in front of my building, the sidewalk is pretty much demolished. It's a hazard. Honestly, if somebody fell on it, they'd go after my insurance, and my insurance would proceed to go after the city for it. 2 years ago, things were marked out, and I was told that it was going to be fixed. Obviously, that hasn't happened. And I'm also approaching this because I'm also the president of the Chamber Board. And kind of, you know, from that viewpoint, the downtown area is expanding, it's growing, there are more businesses coming into it. And that is, and I'm talking about 106 West Main Street, which is right over here, that area is a entryway into the downtown area. And the fact that, I mean, you couldn't get a wheelchair over it. During the winter, it becomes an ice hazard. I'm worried about it being addressed. Again, like I said, I'm seeing painting down there, which I'm assuming means that there's going to be things happening, but I just wanted to raise this up again to see if something is moving forward with that. And I also have to mention, I want to thank the city for the fact that they did the work on the street that I actually live on. However, the amount of traffic that happens there on those corners is maybe one person a month compared to, well, during Apple and Pork, how many hundreds of people go through here, or even during the high school, homecoming parade, you know, people pass in front of there. So,
well, the good news is it is going to happen.
Okay.
We're just waiting for the company to show up. The contract's been awarded, and we thought they was going to show up today, wouldn't it, Steve? And they haven't showed yet. So it's getting done.
Okay. I am very happy to hear that.
Just waiting for them to come in and start doing the work, so.
All right. Well, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Next is the approval of the minutes. Got a motion?
Minutes of the regular meeting, July 2nd, 2024, be approved as submitted.
I'd make that motion.
Second.
Motion made and seconded. Discussion? Please call roll.
Wise?
Yes.
Ballinger?
Yes.
Buchanan?
Yes.
Edmonds?
Yes. Motion's carried. Bills and payroll.
General Administration, $4,499.74. Police, $100,356.02. Fire, $4,776.88. Street, $17,076.67. Parks, $15,613.74. Public Health and Safety, $2,684.71. Cemetery, $9,302.04. Water Operations, $26,409.68. Sewer operations, $271.70. Special tax allocation, TIP 1, $441,266.67. Warner Hospital Health Services operating account, $521,544.47.
Okay, is there a motion to approve the bills and payroll?
I'll make the motion.
Second.
Motion made and seconded. Discussion. Please call the roll.
Ballinger?
Yes.
Buchanan?
Yes.
Wise?
Yes.
Edmonds?
Yes. Motion's carried. Any petitions? Petitions. Okay, report from the Department of Public Affairs. We have an appointment to the Planning Commission.
Appoint William Monson to the Planning Commission to fill Steve Watkins' term to expire May 1st, 2025.
I'd make that motion.
Second.
Motion made and seconded. Please call the roll.
Buchanan?
Yes.
Wise?
Yes.
Ballinger?
Yes.
Edmonds?
Yes. Motion's carried. We want to thank Steve for his years of service on that, too. And now we have a strategic plan presentation.
Mr. Mayor Pro Tem, Commissioners, Madam City Clerk, Mr. City Attorney, it's a pleasure to be back here again to see you guys again and to celebrate the accomplishment of a strategic plan for the city of Clinton. In fact, I was just talking to another city in central Illinois looking to do a strategic plan, and they said, Jim, we want a mission. We need a vision. We need goals. And I thought, check, check, check. The city of Clinton has done all that. So congratulations to you guys. It's a celebration tonight. Go ahead, next slide. Just to recap where we've been and where we're at today, we basically began the process formally back in May and June with several sessions. Most of them occurred right here in this room, in fact. We invited community stakeholders to participate in the process. We actually had 12 members of the community that came out and met with me back at that back table there. Throughout the process itself, we did a team building exercise, governance training, vision setting, mission setting. We set organizational values for the city's organization. We set goals for the next 4 years, prioritized and aligned, and then of course we have developed implementation strategies. Next slide. Started with the kickoff meeting between myself and Taylor, and we had the focus group meetings. We met with the executive management team right here in this room. That was a six-hour session. We did two city council planning sessions. Most of you guys were there. Some missed one or two. Goal and objectives refinement discussion, and then, of course, we had the tonight plan presentation. Those focus group sessions were held on the 13th and 15th. I had the list of participants there on the board. Then, of course, during that session, we did a SWOT analysis. We looked at, got their opinions on what the strengths of Clinton is, what their weaknesses, what in their opinions, what were the opportunities for Clinton, the threats for Clinton. And then, of course, what values do they think that the city council should act under, and when the city staff's taking action, what values should drive them? What they think was mission critical, and what do they think was important goals for the city to accomplish over the next 4 years? Next slide. The six-hour planning session was with the city management team. We looked basically at the same, similar things. We looked at the SWOT. We looked at we did a team building exercise. We looked at a vision and mission, a recommendation for this body to consider. And you guys did that during your planning sessions. They did a departmental goal setting exercise. What do they want to accomplish at the department level over the next several years? And then, of course, most importantly, they assign champions to accomplish those goals. Next slide. Departmental goals for the administration, they determined over the next 4 years they've been working on 11 different goals. Finance was 4 goals. Fire was 2 goals. Police, 6 goals. Public Works was 5 goals. And those are all broken down within your reports. Next slide. But the big thing here to start off with was the vision. This body set this to be the vision for the city of Clinton, to be the community of choice for family, business, education, and recreation, where all citizens are important to our city's growth. We hear mentioned here tonight, business and recreation needs that you guys are already in front of. The challenges were presented to you guys, solutions are already on the table. And I congratulate you for that. What's your mission? The mission statement, through responsible leadership, provide exceptional municipal services, supporting our families, businesses, and visitors, establishing Clinton as a destination in the community of choice. Values that you guys determine will be very important for your team members and yourselves as you're looking at making decisions and taking action. Accountability, community pride, fiscal responsibility, integrity, professionalism, respect, and transparency. Goals. What does this body want to accomplish over the next 4 years? You guys developed 12 goals with supporting objectives for those goals. The goals were assigned in a priority ranking. Time frames were assigned to each objective. And then, of course, you guys actually took it one step farther and assigned a quarterly reporting requirement. You know, where are we at on those goals? Are we making progress on our goals? Next slide. Goal champions. I was just reading today through a book from Stephen Covey talking about the importance of having a champion, but he used a different term for it because he made an anecdotal story in this book about a person who wanted to have the best lawn he possibly could. So he engaged a PhD in horticulture, horticulture to do his landscaping. He wanted a landscape plan, just like you guys have developed a strategic plan for the city. And that person heard his wants and desires and went to work on that plan. And he said, well, I want to make sure that this landscaping is, you don't have to do much maintenance to it. You don't have to maintain it. I want it to be kind of self-maintained. And the person said, I can put the best plan together for you as possible, but you won't have a garden unless you have a gardener. The gardeners are champions. The goal champions are those who are going to make sure the objectives are completed, the goals are completed, and that the mission is followed and the vision's achieved. That's your champions. Their assignment responsibility is making progress on the goals. They bring the goals to life, regularly reporting on each goal, making sure you as a body know what progress is being made on those goals. And most importantly, raising the trophy, completion of the goals. Just to recap, you have these in your report, but goal C1 is to fine-tune the fire department administration and operations. That was scored a 5 out of 5 for priority, so very high priority for this body, and two objectives are underneath that goal. Goal C2 was to develop and adopt a city mission statement. We're doing that tonight. There's three objectives aligned with that, 5 out of 5 priority. Goal C3, to design, fund, and complete water plant equipment improvements. I've seen that on the agenda tonight. Priority 5 out of 5, objectives 3. Goal C4, construct a new water tower. I've seen that on the agenda tonight as well. Priority 5 out of 5, objectives 2. Goal C5, construct the Quincy Street water main. 5 out of 5, priority, objectives 2. Goal C6, design and construct a new city hall and public safety facility, 4.75 out of 5, so very high priority for this board. Three objectives underneath that goal. Goal C7, develop water department leadership, 4.75 out of 5, objectives 3 for that goal. Goal C8, pursue aggressive code enforcement activities to get the city cleaned up, 4.75 out of 5, again, very high priority, two objectives underneath that goal. C9, to improve the economic development page on the city's website, 4.75 out of 5, three objectives. Goal C10, improve city streets, 4.5 out of 5, objectives 4. C11, renovate the current city hall and fire station, priority 3.75, not as high in priority, but still up there, objectives 2. And the lowest ranking in priority was goal C12, to create a park district. Objectives were 3.25 out of 5 in your priority ranking. The success of a plan is to work the plan. You know, and up here I have the A-level treatment for a successful plan has to be achievable. Your goals that you've identified are achievable. You have objectives that are achievable with timelines. You have to have assignment. That's the gardener. That's the champion. You guys have done that. You've assigned these goals to who needs to work on them. The most important thing to come next, that comes next, and it will be continual as you pursue these goals, is the authority, which means also resources. You support that with the budget that you have this year, next year, the following year. Some of these goals are all throughout 4 years to support these goals, to achieve these goals. And then the next important thing is action, taking action towards completing these goals, and then accountability. And that's basically saying, here, where we're at every 3 months, are we making progress on these goals? And then why not? What's holding us back? What do we need to do to get these going? That's the accountability. Congratulations to you guys for a very good strategic plan, a very good mission statement and vision statement. You have any questions for me? I'm excited for you. I'm excited to come back and see what you guys are doing here next year or the year thereafter and see what progress you're making on these goals. And you know I'll be checking in with Taylor because I'm always curious. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming.
Okay. See, Kenny,
just your department. Couple things. Of course, we had the storm last night. This is brush pickup week. With everything we got going on, we got tons of stuff. The brush pickup may not get completed this week. And to remind people, we are waiving the size of the pile limit because of the storm. Just ask everybody to get it out. And as soon as we can get around to get it picked up, because like going on like the park and stuff, we got extra jobs going on this week. Also, we got to get ready for our street work going to get done by the end of the week, end of the month, depending on the weather. So just ask everybody to be patient about the brush pickup, and we will get it picked up. So that's all I have.
Okay. John.
Okay.
You have a presentation also.
I do. It's one that's, I think, is well needed, and I hope we can answer any and all the questions that's been raised. And I have Greg Myroth here from Mead and Hunt, and he is going to overview everything that I've discussed and things that I didn't quite get right, I will admit up to very easily. I did not have everything in the proper order as far as what the engineering, some of the engineering has not been completed, but everything is in the steps that I described, and he's going to be able to describe how this is going to go forward. So thank you, Greg.
Yeah. And John, there's a lot of steps going on. So I had to talk to Eric to kind of refresh my memory on some of the history of all this too. I guess one of the first things I wanted to talk about is, I know there's, John said he's had some questions about the ARPA money, how it was spent, why it was spent, and what it was spent on. And a little bit of history there. The city received about $930,000 in ARPA money when they got the ARPA funds. With Lloyd at the time, Kyle, Taylor, Steve, John, I think you might add a little input on that. You know, there was a prioritized list of what were the most important projects for the city. And at the time, you know, because there's a lot of there's more projects than there's money, like in many cities, right? And the city did not want to just use that money on design and not have something constructed. So one of the first projects was we spent about $40,000 on a new local control panel that allowed, it basically was the only backup. So if the main computer went down, the guys had to be out there operating the plant manually. So for that $40,000 investment, you had a backup. Another big project, $585,000 is going towards the lime and CO2 feed systems, replacing and updating those components. About $225,000 is going to the PLC and SCADA improvements at the plant, which is new operating system, new computer, new wonderware, and updating PLC cards. And then it's the last part of that, of the ARPA money, was $70,000 for the design of the Quincy Street water main. So that design for the water main is basically done, sitting on the shelf. And so then at that point, brings us to kind of where we're at now, right? Because at the time, the city wasn't going to do, like, you know, Tom, I know Tom, it was important about getting the Quincy Street Road project done. Initially, there was the idea of, okay, we'll do this, we'll do the water main, leave the street as, just do a patch repair, get the tower done, come back and do Quincy Street. It was kind of decided that we couldn't let it sit that long, right? So then we're like, we don't want to put in a new street and then come back and put in a tower. So that sort of flipped the order of things. So that might have caused some folks some confusion. So now, where we're at right now, is with the proposal that's in front of you and the planning as it sits now, and there's a very logical reason why the city did this, and it actually wasn't something that we had the foresight. It just worked out, because there's actually principal forgiveness on the table from Illinois EPA that at the time we didn't know about. So Project 1, which is what we're getting ready to start now, is essentially the water tower controls and instrumentation improvements, and that's estimated at $5.6 million. It's a big project, right? But that'll include new well controls, new master PLC controls in a new plant, replacement of the controllers on the automated valves. For years, Lloyd and Kyle have struggled with the motors on those valves not working. So that will replace those things. Also, this project includes a backup generator. There's lots of components at the plant, because if you guys think back about when this plant was built, it's over 20 years ago, right? So one of the reasons why the city kind of had to limp along here, waiting for your loans to come off the billing statement, right? So now those loans, the existing tower and the existing water plant loans have now expired, which basically gives you the borrowing capacity to make those updates now without having some massive increase in the rate. So that's project number one. And project two, which will follow up afterwards, so after the tower is constructed, will then be the Quincy street replacement and the water main replacement. And that's estimated right now at about $4.8 million. When I talked to EPA, because EPA was the one that suggested we split this into two projects, and kind of the beauty of this, again, like, you know, we can take credit and pretend that we thought we knew this ahead of time, but we didn't. One of the things EPA told us is that by splitting these projects in half, it gives us the opportunity to get up to about $1.65 million in principal forgiveness. Now, the city's had that, you know, we've done that a few times in past years on some different projects. That's a huge help. So essentially, if, you know, that's basically taken a $5.6 million project and taking it down to $4 million if we get that principal forgiveness. So, you know, as I look at the steps the city's taken over, you know, since COVID, since the ARPA money, you know, I think you've done exactly what you should have done. You've done it in the logical sense, and then we got the icing on the cake of this opportunity for principal forgiveness. And I think, John, I mean, some of the confusion that I think maybe like people have like questioned you about is there's a lot of controls, instrumentation, and things like that's getting improved. And you start talking about, well, there's this control panel and there's that control panel, and people are probably hearing control panel, electric system and system integration and controls and stuff like that. And probably they're thinking this is repetitiveness, but there's a lot of system controls and functionality that is outdated in the plant and needs to be updated. And, you know, as you can appreciate, there's a long list of projects that needs to be improved there. And the city has gone through, made a prioritized list. We're working down that list, and they're big projects, and it's a big commitment. But, you know, the plant, it's hard to believe. You know, I was thinking about that on my way down here. I've been coming to Clinton for 33 years, right? Like, it was 20-some-odd years ago that we constructed that plant, went online, and it was, you know, there were some old components left in the plant at the time, and it's time for them to be updated. So that is sort of the rundown of how we got here. I know it's kind of the same message I said a month or two ago, and if, you know, if you have other folks in the audience that have questions, I'm happy to answer questions from anybody else, from you guys, obviously, but if there's anybody else that has questions, I'm happy to answer any and all questions from anybody that wants to talk about this. So,
still a 14-inch main?
I believe so. John asked me where my partner was. Eric didn't come with me. I think it's a 14-inch main. That's been, you know, we designed that during COVID, so that's been sitting on the shelf for a couple of years now.
Sure.
So I think it's still a 14-inch main.
Yeah.
Yeah, if I remember
correctly. Because that's what's there presently.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, I mean, Lloyd was having leak after leak after leak with that. It's time to get it replaced, because we don't want to Band-Aid it and then put a new road over it. So it's time for it to be replaced.
That's the way to do it.
Myself, yep. Personally, I'm glad to hear the line softener, line feed is getting taken care of, because, I mean, when I was working there, we had issues with that all the time, and they still do rebuild the pumps summertime. So I'm
for
glad
sure
to see that being redone.
For sure, and that's the thing, right? Because I had to ask Eric today. I'm like, okay, well, we're doing the components of the lime and the CO2 now, then I'm like, well, okay, in this project, but then the controls for those systems are being updated in the next round, because the electrical controls and instrumentation guys are going to do that all in this next big project. So there, you know, I think that could have caused some confusion in people's mind, because they're hearing some of the same components that are being replaced in different stages too. So
Kyle has been brought in because Lloyd retired, which, yep, you knew that. Kyle has been down there, and that's one of the things that he had as a goal. Steve and Taylor and everybody here has been saying, what is the most crucial parts? He's having to go through that whole plant, checking out what we really need to be done.
Yep.
And my biggest concern, Kyle knows where my attitude is. I don't care how many water towers I have. I don't care how many 100-million-gallon tanks I have. If I can't put water in those tanks,
exactly,
they're not worth a shit to me.
Exactly.
I'm sorry, but they're not. And I have to keep that plant running. And this has been something, and Kyle can address now, because he's been the one having to be down there,
yep,
on the weekends working over to have to keep this thing running by hand. And I'd just soon have Kyle step up, and if there's any concerns or anything he can add, I would really like to have him speak.
Yeah, I don't have much to add. I think everything you covered was in the order it needed to be done. Just one little thing on the 14-inch. You brought the 14-inch water main. I haven't seen the plan for that, but that needs to be addressed and changed.
Yeah.
14-inch is rare.
Yeah, it might have been a 16, yeah. And it can be. That's going to be as simple as changing the number on a drawing. So we can do that. Whatever
we
want to do there.
Parts for 14-inch water mains.
Is it 14 now or is it 16, Kyle? I don't know. Is it 14? Yeah. I couldn't remember. Yeah.
I don't have pictures. My grandpa was a plumber for his entire life, and the WPA, he worked for the city of Clinton, changing all the old lead lines, the cast iron lines to copper.
Right.
He helped put that main in. He had pictures, and I wished I could have found them, that they did that with mules and by hand, and they'd lower it down with pulleys and then put it all together by hand. And I did have pictures, but I couldn't find them. But they did that all by hand. Yeah. They dug all the thing by hand, terraced it down, and then rolled them down and put them together. And I used to have pictures of that because Grandpa was very proud of that, that he got to be part of that process.
Because that would have been the first water main in the city, basically going from the plant to the tower.
And so he was very pleased with that part of his life. So, I know that people would like to have it done immediately, and I wished I had the pot of money that we could do it. But I've said all along that we don't. We had to follow the procedures, and then now it looks like, in hindsight, it is going to take and benefit the city.
It is.
By doing it in these two different sections.
It is, and one other thing I want to mention, because even today I was like, I was talking to Eric, I'm like, okay, is there any other way we could do this? Because, you know, I know, you know, the struggle with this is, like, you got to front the design money up. You know, it's a horse race to get the money, right, to get the loan. So in order to get the loan, we have to show the design's done, we have to show we're ready to go to construction. Well, you got to pay for the design up front. But the good thing about paying for the design is that becomes loan eligible. So even though, like, if we, you know, we start the design this month, and then it's, let's say it's the end of 2025 when we get to construction, that engineering that you're paying like this in 2024 is loan eligible. So the day you get the loan, if you choose to, and you want that, like, say you're, whatever, you're taking the money out of a different account, if you want that engineering back as a loan, you can get that back. So, like, you know, that's the good thing, because the projects we're doing now with ARPA money aren't loan eligible. So if you try to say, well, let's just use the ARPA money for design, then you're not getting the benefit of additional loan money. And then that principal forgiveness helps as well. So essentially some of the engineering will be free. So any questions from anybody? Because I'm ready to go through the history.
Do you have any questions, Roger?
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Good
to meet you, sir.
Good to see you again, buddy. You want me to give you the table?
Show the council what this is right here.
Okay. This is the city's project plan, which is what's needed to get loan funding.
Correct.
That's for the grant?
That's for a loan. That's through the Illinois EPA loan program.
Mm-hmm.
That's how the city will get the loan.
So when are we going to apply for that grant?
Well, like I was saying, so in order to, it's a loan, so it's repayable. I mean, it's a loan with the potential for principal forgiveness, which I guess you could call that the grant. The loan is a competitive process, right? So without having the design done, the city won't score high enough to get the loan. Sure. So that's what I'm saying. You have to do the design in order to get the loan.
Is that the first step?
So I think it's in March, you do what's a funding nomination form, which you're basically just saying, I got a project I want to get funding for. Then at that point, you do this project plan. You do a loan application, which is a fairly involved process. And then you start basically getting your project ready, which is the design, the planning, getting the council have to do a debt authorization saying we're willing, you know, we can borrow the money. We'll have to submit our rates to show that we have the rate structure in place to repay a loan. And at that point, they go through and they score you. They're basically saying, what's the project need? How needed is this project? Check that box because we've got a failing tower, we've got a failing water main, we've got a failing water treatment plant. Does the city support it? Is there a debt authorization in place that's allowing the city to borrow the $5 or $6 million? Check that point. You have this project plan that will get approved once there's a project, right? Like, so right now, this is just basically, you know, this was several years old. What we're actually doing has probably changed quite a bit from the 2022 document.
Completely. You know, all that engineering stuff is all changed.
As far as what's changed, and like I haven't looked at this document, so what are you thinking has changed?
Well, that gives you everything that you made for that project, all the costs, and it was engineering paid by the city taxpayers to make that plan.
Well, when I look at this plan, what was that? Yes. So, but this is couple years old, but when I look at this, the first thing I'm seeing is a 300,000 gallon elevated storage tank. That's the project the city's getting ready to design. This is all, and actually it is a 16 inch main, so refreshing my memory, it is a 16 inch main right here. And also the 16 inch main is on here, so that's what we're talking, that is, this is exactly what we're talking about
sure.
tonight. So nothing's,
but nothing. That was in September of 22.
Correct, but like I was saying, the city, so at the time, what I think was going on, Roger, the city was going to do the water main and patch the street. And then Tom and the rest of the council decided, you know what, Greg, we need to redo the entire Quincy Street. So then as a team, all of us, Taylor, council, Steve, everybody, thought about this and said, you know what, well, the first thing we need to do is do the tower, because we don't want to put in a brand new Quincy Street and then go back and tear it up and with heavy equipment, put it in a tower. So we just switched the order is all that we did there.
Yeah.
So, and I think as I hopefully you heard, so what we had done at that point was we've designed the water main. The water main design is sitting on the shelf in my office. What we haven't done is the Quincy road design. So the water main's been designed, sitting on a shelf, because like I said, the direction now is do the projects that Kyle needs at the water plant and the tower first. And then the second project will be the road and the water main on Quincy.
Okay, so now we've started on repairs at the treatment plant. So our whole plan project, as far as a EPA loan, is all changed. Because we've already started some of them projects.
Well, so the decision the council made, like I said, the council had a little under $1 million. They have very pressing needs at the water treatment plant that needed to be addressed. Like at the time, and I think, you know, some of this was, I think it was it Kenny that was out without water for a few days? So around that time is when Lloyd and Kyle were like, look, when our plant, when our system goes down, we have to run the plant manually, entirely manually. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we had our controls and instrumentation guys meet with Kyle and the team and actually looked at a couple of different options, and they came across a solution. I think there was a relatively inexpensive solution that gave the city full redundancy, so if their computer system goes down, These guys have a backup system to allow them to run the plant automatically. And the other projects are, as John said, you know, the number one thing is he's got to be able to produce water. So that ARPA money was directed towards improvements at the plant that are necessary. Which is that makes sense to you, right?
I understand that. The lime injection and the CO2 equipment.
Yep.
Is it the same piece of equipment that was priced in 2002?
I don't know that that's
probably not the same one we looked at in Eureka.
Yeah. Yeah. So that part of this project, that part of this is now going, is being installed now with the $600,000 project from the ARPA money.
So its cost of that's went almost double?
The cost of that. I don't know, but I guess I wouldn't be surprised because just given COVID and everything, I mean, that's sort of
pretty well in black and white because we just gave a contract for $500.
So yeah. Yeah, I mean, but you're trying to pick one line item.
Sure.
Because when I'm looking here, I'm seeing a $300,000 lime system. I'm seeing other line items that would be part of that.
Electricals right below it.
Yeah, so there's definitely, but I mean, without question, those costs have went up dramatically. So from that time to...
We'll not take a lot of your time. We just fell asleep at the wheel or what?
In what regards are you thinking that somebody fell asleep at the wheel?
Well, I just wondered why we just didn't progress in 22 and get some of this done as far as applying for the loan and getting our loan operated.
Well,
when do we apply for the loan?
As soon as the projects are designed and ready to go. So like I'm saying, you're not, so let's back up. The city had $900,000 to make the most cost-effective decisions with that money. Now, I bet you somebody other than you would be sitting here right now yelling at me saying, why did you tell the city to spend that money on design? So what would you rather them spend the $900,000 on? Fixing the plant and making sure they can make water or putting a design on the shelf? That doesn't make any sense to me. I put the money into construction, which is what these guys did, and I fully agree with what they've done. It makes complete sense.
I understand that.
Okay, so if we agree on that, where are we disagreeing?
Well, we should have moved forward with N22 and getting our loan arrangement. That's what...
Well, could we have... Sure, maybe they could have moved faster, but... I mean, what they had at the time, like, I'm not sure, you know, the city had $900,000 to spend. They're spending it in the most cost-effective way and getting the most benefit for the city. Could they have gone faster? Maybe. But the process and the steps that they're taking are exactly what needed to be done.
Okay.
So but the thing of it is, we weren't in a position.
All that stuff in 22.
Yeah, that's a very good point.
That's the problem.
That's a very good point.
We still have the loans
yes.
out there.
That's
without the loan.
Yeah, we got to pay off the loan.
Yeah, that's a very good point. And Clint may be able to comment on when the loans were paid off, because I don't think in 2022 both your loans were off the record, off your books, were they?
No.
The tower loan is still not off the
Yeah, books. So that's exactly why. That's exactly why. So think about it this way. You have $930,000. That's what we had to spend. The decisions they made and where they spent them, like I 1,000,000% support what they've done, because it just makes sense.
To do all those projects in 22 at the time.
Right. Right, I remember having those conversations with Lloyd and Steve. Now, you know, that's been a couple years ago, but that was the point, was like we couldn't move those projects ahead until, because basically the loan for the water plant, the whole water plant loan, which at the time 20 some years ago was a $6 million loan, and the entire loan for the water tower will be coming off the city's expenses or whatever. Mm-hmm. So now you have that borrowing capacity to go out and make these upgrades that you need to make.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of steps that should have been watched as we went along.
Well, like the city has no control over when that loan comes off. So, I mean, I think they've made the steps and the timing exactly like they should have.
Yeah. Well, if we don't keep track of when we got to apply and keep vigil on when that's going in, they'll never get that loan.
That's why we're doing this today. I mean, we're moving this ahead right now, and the timing's right. And I mean, kind of against what you're saying is, the beauty of this now is the city is in position to get potentially about $3 million in principal forgiveness, which is a significant amount of money to, I mean, it's almost paying for three quarters.
I appreciate your time.
And you got my, these guys get you my number. If you have any questions, I'm happy to try to answer them, because I know it's confusing, but I do stand 100% with what these guys have done. I think they've made the right decisions throughout the process, and the timing is what it is, and thanks for refreshing my memory about the loan, too. So if you have any more questions, feel free to reach out to me.
All right, thank you, sir.
Yep. Anything else, guys?
Oh, thank you very much.
Thanks, Greg.
Thanks.
Yep. Thank you very much.
Okay, anything else, John?
I do not.
Oh, yeah.
Annie?
Kind of hit on mine earlier. I was going to, you know, let everybody know that the park is the ultimate play space. 25 years old. It don't seem like it's been that long. I know the public put a lot of labor into it, and it looked like it was salvageable above ground, but I think Steve can verify the wood goes into the ground. There's a lot of rotten wood in the ground that nobody could see. It was at the point it was not safe anymore. Is that correct, Steve?
Yeah.
It had to come down. We've had people with nails, and it was not worth taking a chance of anybody getting hurt on. So we made the decision to bring it down, and Taylor has been working, and Steve have been working with two design companies on new playground equipment, has them in-house. We have the quotes. We'll be looking at them really fast and making some decisions, and we'll be moving forward with Kiwanis Park. So we're asking the media to let the public know this and be patient with us. We're going to put something back really nice for them, okay? The splash park will not be interrupted. It'll stay like it is. Hopefully that'll be another phase, but not right now, okay? Other than that, Ben, you got anything, bud?
I do not. Thank you.
Okay, that's all we got.
One question.
Yes.
You see on Facebook a lot of things, and they've got the marker bricks and everything.
They are staying.
And will we move them and then put them back after we get done?
They are staying right like they are, not being touched.
Okay.
Steve has taken great diligence to make sure they don't get moved. Good. And a lot of people have asked with the new one if they could buy bricks and expand it. We're looking at that. We got a lot of in-house work to do on it, but no, they are going to stay because them are the original people of that, and we don't want to disturb it.
And around the outside of it, we have the plaques of the people that have worked on it over the period of time, like the different companies and different groups.
I don't think they were any. They were rotted.
They're just.
So bad.
They're just. I didn't know if they would be able to salvage them or not and put them on a wall. Okay.
But the pavers are staying. We have the benches down there that we're going to try to incorporate right back into it. And if everybody be patient, we're going to give them something nice.
Just want to make sure they knew.
And another goal down there at that park is maybe back by the railroad tracks, kind of clean some brush and open it up so it's not such a secluded area. Make it so where people can see in there and maybe detour some problems. Okay? And you guys throw ideas at us because we need them. So.
Well, I know it's kind of on the designs, too. It's going to be more open what the other was where they can't be hiding in there and sleeping.
Exactly.
Stuff,
so. Exactly. Good. It was just to the point. It was somebody was going to get hurt, and that would have cost more than the playground would have. So it's time.
All right.
Anything else? That's all I got.
That's it. Okay. I don't have anything in my department. So unfinished business.
Approve the engineering services agreement for Woodlawn Cemetery Bridge with Cummins Engineering in the amount of $5,798.60.
I'd make that motion.
Second.
Motion made and seconded. Discussion. Please call the roll.
Wise.
Yes.
Ballinger.
Yes.
Buchanan.
Yes.
Edmonds.
Yes. Motion's carried.
Approve Resolution 2024-10, a resolution accepting offers for lots 6, 7, and 21 in Park Lane West Subdivision.
Make that motion.
Second.
Motion made and seconded. Discussion. Please call the roll.
Ballinger.
Yes.
Buchanan.
Yes.
Wise.
Yes.
Edmonds.
Yes. Motion is carried.
Approve Ordinance 1602, an ordinance authorizing sale of real property, Park Lane West Edition.
Make that motion.
Second.
Motion made and seconded. Discussion. Please call the roll.
Buchanan.
Yes.
Wise.
Yes.
Ballinger.
Yes.
Edmonds.
Yes. Motion's carried. And we have a lot of new business to come up.
Purchase of accessory equipment and installation by Mido Public Safety Equipment for two 2024 Ford Police Interceptor utility vehicles not to exceed $24,000. Engineering proposal, water plant improvements, including water tower with Mead and Hunt, the amount of $375,000. Supplemental resolution from FT funding, South Madison Street project with Cummins Engineering, $14,937.52. Liberty Lane resurfacing bids, UCM, $82,344.30. Dunn Company, $79,351.70. Ordinance authorizing sale of real estate, 917 West North Street, Kelly Riggs, $1,700. 801 North Side Square awning proposal, Kyle and Melissa Morris. Kiwanis Park playground equipment proposals, and ordinance creating 13-6 of the city code solar regulations.
Okay. No other new business. We have a closed session for employment of an employee. Do you have a motion for that?
Hold a closed session for approval of closed session minutes and employment of employee.
I make that motion.
Second.
Motion made and seconded. Please call the roll.
Wise?
Yes.
Ballinger?
Yes.
Buchanan?
Yes.
Edmonds?
Yes. Is there going to be anything after that closed session, John?
I don't think so.
Okay, so there'll be no business to come before the group after the closed session. So we'll go into closed session. Go ahead.
Wait till you make sure nobody's coming in.
Doors are open.
Yeah, good.
Okay, so anybody wants to come back in?
We're good. Close. Nobody's there.
Session. Okay.
Okay, so motion to go into open session?
I'll make the motion.
Second.
Motion made and seconded. Okay, go ahead.
Wise?
Yes.
Ballinger?
Yes.
Buchanan?
Yes.
Edmonds?
Yes. Motion's carried. Motion to adjourn the meeting.
I'll make it.
Ballinger? Yeah,
yes.
They did it.
Yes.
All right.
Buchanan?
Yes.
Wise?
Yes.
Edmonds?
Yes. Meeting adjourned.
Yeah. I had to throw it away.